Weinstein Company logo means start. What do you think of the Weinstein Company logo, Moj?
It communicates W.
It really does sell that W in a big, bad way. Welcome to the Clerks 2 cast commentary track. Cast, and I guess we should say crew, because you're not really cast. Well, you're in the movie, too.
I am.
That's right.
I'm representing the day players.
I'm Kevin Smith. Over there, that's Scott Mosier, and everybody go around. Who are you, sir?
I am Jason Mewes.
And next to you?
I'm Trevor Furman. I play Elias in the movie.
Good call, because anyone watching this probably wouldn't figure that out. They'd be like, Trevor Furman. Who are you, sir?
Brian O'Halloran, who's opening the shutters to expose fire.
And expose your backside, too. Yeah, there's a lot of skin there. It was kind of a nudity shot.
Yeah, well, and I didn't get that bonus.
No, and you had a clause in your contract about no skin.
Damn.
Next to him?
Jeff Anderson. I play Elias's mentor, Randall.
I would have went with mentor, but mentor's fine.
I'm from Jersey. That's the way we roll.
Mentor's the fresh maker. And next to you?
Jennifer Schwalbach.
And who do you play?
Emma Bunting.
Meaning that the tone's been set for who we all play.
Yeah, he's criticized me for that at the beginning.
I know. Well, he did it. Maybe you should say who you are.
I'd rather not.
Keep it. Let him guess.
I would hope people know.
So, up here, we got the opening of the flick, which critically, a lot of people seem to like. Even people that didn't like the rest of the movie seemed to like the very beginning and the very end, which leads me to believe that if we'd made this a 5-minute movie. Genius.
The quick stop.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes, exactly. It burns down and then it's like 1 year later, it reopens. You guys are returning. It's 12 years since between the movies came out, 13 years since we actually shot the flick. What did you jump on it right away or no? Were you into it or not?
I was. You know, I like these characters. And I'm a working actor, so to be a co-star.
What does that mean, a working actor?
I do a lot of theater. I'm always looking for more work. That's my main, you know, income is acting. So,
is there such a thing as a non-working actor?
Well, yeah, there are day players.
That would be me. And now we get to me. I was not interested because I am a non-working actor who's very uncomfortable on film.
Do you really not? Is there anybody that likes looking at themselves in the movie? Any movie? Let's say this one.
Oh, I love to look at myself.
I genuinely do, actually.
Do you enjoy your performance?
Yeah, I get a
Do you have a Ben Affleck approach to your work where
it's
you're
just
like...
It's kind of cool to see yourself on, you know, like 30 feet high or whatever. Like, I got a kick out of it.
You like being tall. Is that what it is?
Yes.
What about you, Schwalbach?
Oh, I hate it.
Why?
Too critical. I always think of...
That's a chick thing.
A different way I should have done it or said it or sounded or looked or
What about
something.
The aesthetic?
I don't care.
You don't care? That part doesn't matter?
At this point, no.
Why? Mm-hmm. Why at this point? At what point did it
matter? 35 and, you know, have a kid, mother, wife. Acting is, I'm not a working actor. I am more of a housewife mother.
Right.
And I don't know. I just, the looks thing, I don't know, not prioritized as much as like the acting.
So
the, I want to do
when
well,
you watch
come
your stuff,
well.
You get bugged by just looking at your performance?
Yeah, the performance.
That's weird. Anyone else get bugged watching their stuff?
For me, I know when we shot the original Clerks, because I had never done anything, and when I watched the original Clerks and the first time I saw the screening of that, I thought you dubbed in another voice. Like, that was the weird thing to me, was the voice. Close. I was like, who is the person speaking so slow and retarded? That's not me. But apparently that's me.
You're like Homer Simpson in that one episode of The Simpsons where he's like, that's not what my voice sounds like. And he's like, record your voice. He's like, hey, this is Homer Simpson. That doesn't sound like you. I watched First Clerks. It totally sounds like you.
Well, I mean, now I've become accustomed to it, and that's probably... I never really get recognized from the movies until I'm talking to somebody, and then it's like, wait a minute, I know that voice.
Do you think you get recognized more visually or by the voice?
Always by the voice.
Really?
Very rarely visually. It's that hair with the hat on it, the hat with the hair on it. Totally throws everyone. Yeah, that's what it is.
This stuff, most of the movie was shot in Buena Park out in California, but this, of course, was shot right in front of the Quick Stop. And going back to the Quick Stop, we kind of saved all the Quick Stop shooting for the last week of the show. And for me, I remember the very last shot we shot was the very last shot in the movie. And I had this distinct feeling of like, it's been 12, 13 years. I cannot fucking get away from this store. Just my life always comes back there. And granted, that's my choice, but still, it feels like there's a nice sense of going full circle in terms of, like, it kind of ends where it begins.
Well, at least for you, you've done other movies where you've been away from the store. I literally can't get away from the store. Anytime I'm in front of the camera, I'm at that store.
Right, you just keep going back to the store. Jeff is
so mad. I think secretly I just want my old job back because it was a pretty easy ride. $5 an hour under the table. And all the shit you can eat, and the bosses were never around, TV, VCR. Nowadays, it would probably be TV, DVD player, maybe a combo, maybe a computer. Back in those days, there wasn't even a laptop when we shot the first one. So I imagine this time around, if I was still working in the store, I'd have a laptop.
And nothing would get done. You would have never written a script because you'd be totally on YouTube and everything else all day long.
I'd be watching other people's videos and whatnot.
See, that's going to date it, YouTube.
No, man, YouTube's forever.
But Trapped in the Closet isn't?
I don't know. We had an argument before it began. Boy, it didn't take long
for it to come
out.
They told me before we started the commentary track that I couldn't mention.
We had the argument about Trevor's been going off about Trapped in the Closet for almost close to a year straight now.
And
he's fascinated by it. And we said, don't talk about it on the commentary track because you'll date it. Because what happens, people watch this 20 years in the future. Like, what's Trapped in the Closet?
But I said Trapped in the Closet is forever.
And you believe that it'll be around.
We'll see which one lasts longer.
If you're listening to this 10 years, if you're listening to this in 2016, and you don't know what Trapped in the Closet is, it's that R. Kelly series of videos and whatnot.
If you're listening to this in November and don't know what Trapped in the Closet is.
Musicals, your first time on camera in this flick. And you've played this guy 6 times, almost in a row. Any difference this time around? Well, big difference this time around, which we all know is what?
Sober.
Any difference playing sober Jay as opposed to Jay under the influence? And the influence
character.
Should... Yeah, or just actually playing him.
What?
But just actually playing the part. Apparently not. Apparently there's no difference between when you were using and not using.
Are you saying is there a difference me being sober and playing Jay, or you're saying playing Jay as a sober character?
No, you being sober and playing Jay.
See, why don't you just say that instead of trying to
Well, now that
me.
We've got it cleared out, why don't you fucking take... Why don't you address the topic rather than we could fight off microphone all you want.
Why are you trying to make me sound stupid?
I didn't. I was trying to clear it up. But be honest, you did sound stupid. That's why I had to clear it up.
I'm questioning his sobriety right now.
Well, we just cleared it up.
Are you sober right now?
There it is. Now that that's established.
I like those guys and they don't appear in the film.
Dude, we're talking about us.
I just like to break the tension with Mentor. Thank you.
All right, so Stupid Jay, what is the difference between playing Jay while you were using or not using? And when you and not just using, like in the first time you did Clerks, it's not like you were using drugs, you were drinking. But
yeah, I was drinking and smoking.
Not a lot. Were you
not
high?
Not so much, but more drinking, but I was smoking a little bit.
Was there a noticeable difference? I found in terms of you being not so much the performance, but just being on the set, you didn't seem to want to get off the set as much as you did in the past. Back in the day, you'd want to be like, are we done? I want to go. And this time, we couldn't get you off set. You'd hung out even when you weren't shooting. What did you feel?
I feel the same way.
Right on. Moving on. can you fill in a little more than that?
No.
No?
I mean, no, yeah, that's how, yeah, I wanted to get back. Back in the day, I always seemed to want to get off because I wanted to either get off. If I wasn't doing drugs, if I was drinking, I'd want the day to end so I can go out clubbing or drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing drugs, using drugs while we were shooting, I'd want to get back to my trailer so I can do that next bump or whatever I was doing.
So this time around, in lieu of drugs, what would you do when you weren't on camera? How did you spend your downtime?
On this last one, go watch 21 Jump Street.
Why that?
Because that's what I had bought at the time.
That's true. I used to buy
21 Jump Street box sets came out, and I went and bought them all and watched. And I'd mess around on the internet.
And you played Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle Earth.
And played Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle Earth.
Now, are we dating you by mentioning all those titles, just out of curiosity?
It's too late. Once we've opened the R. Kelly coffin, or it's all out there.
21 Jump Street and music.
21 Jump Street awesome. Makes it even older. You would also, I remember one time you watched the, Rosario's, Alexander performance on a loop.
I did.
Is that accurate?
Well, not a loop, but I had to check it after I met her in person. Cause I didn't really remember that scene. I had watched the movie late night a long time, you know, so I was like, so yeah, I had to go back and peep out those breasts.
I remember you coming up to her specifically and being like, I just watched you. In Alexander.
Creepy like that right
yeah.
now.
But like, oh, that would have been creepy enough, but then
I
you were like, and I jerked off. And she was
no,
like,
I
thanks.
Tell it. Yeah. She knows.
She seemed
had
a little flat.
Rosario Dawson Alexander Film Festival in his room.
And which lasted all of like 10 seconds.
I waited until she came in the room to tell her, too. I wanted to make sure, like, she was in my room, she saw the DVD, and I stared her in the face and said, I just watched you naked.
Did you get along? Did anyone not get along with Rosario? Rosario's not here today because I don't know what she's doing. But
she didn't get along with somebody.
Yeah. She's like, he's coming, I ain't coming. Anyone not get along with her? She's pretty easy to get along with.
She's a great chick. I had one little thing with her, though.
What was it?
It was
Dish.
Little, it was little. This is reminiscent of the little time I inadvertently offended Jason Lee on set, which is another issue.
What?
Yeah, I told you about that. That's the thing.
How did you inadvertently?
Remind me when he comes up on.
Hit it now, sir, while it's fresh.
Well, I want to do Rosario first.
All right.
So she.
No, I
want to
do Rosario.
Sound like Muse.
Well, listen, Muse. I'll let Muse decide which one I do first. Which one should I do, Muse?
I didn't know that you. I don't know which one's better.
I'll do Rosario. So we were in the makeup trailer, and one of the makeup girls had brought the Rent CD.
Uh-huh.
And,
was just in that movie Rent.
Yeah, she was just in the movie Rent. And I think she must have heard, second or third hand or something that I am not a big fan of Rent. Not the movie, I didn't even see the movie.
Just the show.
Yeah, just the show. I think it's a little bit cheesy or whatever, but you know, like nothing against Rosario. I think Rosario is a really
you swallowed cheesy. You were like, yeah, I think it was a little bit cheesy.
Rosario's not
I do
here,
think Rosario is a good actress, and I really like her and everything. But so it's like nothing personal against her, but I just don't really like Rent. And so she must have. I told somebody that, and she must have heard that. You know, whatever. So we're listening to the Rent CD, and it's you know I'm not like saying anything about it. I had the jacket open, and I was reading it. And there's that picture of Jonathan Larson on the back of it. And I was like, that guy's dead. You know, just saying it like a fact, statement of fact, like that guy's dead. And she kind of like, I think combined with her foreknowledge that I didn't like Rent, thought that I was saying that in this really snide way. Mm-hmm. And so she got, and to her credit, she did it in kind of a pseudo honorable way. But she got a little bit defensive or like started trying to defend him or something and was like, well, she said something like, maybe someday you'll do something, good. Or I can't remember exactly what she said. It wasn't, like, bitchy or anything, but it was like, maybe someday you'll do something, you know, worthwhile like he did. And I was like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? And she was like, well, what is that supposed to mean? Like, he's dead. And I was like, oh, he's dead. That's sad. That's all I was saying. And then she was like, oh, and that was that. That was the only time
wow,
I ever got into
that was what
to.
We were waiting for?
That story goes nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what? You're no longer stupid Jay. You are stupid Trevor.
The whole point was that I was trying to explain that Rosario is such a great chick that that's the only thing that I was...
And for the record, I'm no longer your mentor.
I was trying to say something nice, and
it's left. Well, the R. Kelly would work better than talking about death on a commentary.
Now you probably don't want to hear my Jason Lee story.
Oh, now we can say
you bring up
because
somebody
we got
that
these...
he respects and died?
We've got these two cats on the swing, so we might as well address it because you guys are both here. So this scene 16, took the longest to shoot in the entire movie because it was broken up over a period of weeks. We didn't get to shoot it. Most times you shoot a scene, you shoot it all in one day, maybe 2 days, unless you're doing an action movie and it takes very, very long time. But in an all-dialogue movie, it's very rare that you shoot one scene over the course of multiple days. But for some reason, we kept losing light. There were weather elements and whatnot. We had to break this scene up over the period of weeks. But fuck all that. You guys just had to sit there and make out for a long period of time. Was it awkward for either of you?
A bit. You know, when your friend slash boss is asking you to, I want you to make out with my wife numerous times while I film it and watch.
Right.
It's kind of odd. You know, but Jen is fantastic to work with, and, you know, we talked beforehand, and it was all cool and fine. It's just, yeah, it's kind of odd. At first, when the first couple of takes that were not getting right because it was the big crane shot, and then I realized there was nobody behind the monitor except you, I'm like, are we even shooting this, Kev? Or is this just for your own gratification?
That was for Private Stock. I kept that and the Ali Larder makeup.
Right, I was saying, stuff that never was supposed to make it.
What did you feel?
I think it was far more torturous for Jay than anyone. He gets super
Muse got more uptight than I did. I didn't get uptight at all. I was like, oh, this is it. You know, we've got to shoot it. It's in the movie and whatnot. But Muse would come over and be like, you're going to let this shit happen? Why the fuck look at him? He's kissing her, dude.
I thought one take was good enough. And I don't think there should have been so much tongue.
There was no tongue.
Yeah, dude, you were trying to slip her fucking tongue. Matter of fact, step outside, bitch.
A year later, he still died about it.
I saved time for you, and you know it.
When we were on the press tour, I got that question so many times. People were like, is it weird to watch your wife make out with your friend? And I was like, not really.
But this would be the third movie that you've written a kiss
That's
in
true.
For
you
me.
You did it with Jason Biggs as well as the other one. Yep. In Jersey mm-hmm. Girl. The movie that dare not
you
speak its
him.
Name. I do. I'm a voyeur, man. I'm a total watcher. I'm like, I'd watch from beneath a glass table and jerk off. But unfortunately, we had to shoot it, so
hey,
I couldn't bring the glass table
in.
There are little glass tables in here. They're too little. But I, for some reason, I guess people didn't have that many questions to ask about the movie itself because they would always ask that question. Mm-hmm. There are certain questions you always get asked, and that was definitely one of them.
Yes.
And I was just like, come on, think of something a little better than that. Like, at least ask me, did he get hard? Did she get wet? Because then I'd be like, let me think about it.
That's the nervous thing about it. It's like, you don't want that launch sequence to start because next thing you know, I'm out and Seth Green's in or something in my place.
Oh, yeah, you also wrote me kissing your mother-in-law. Right, which is
you're sick.
That's
so.
Right.
You want to see all the women in
I
your
told
life
you, I'm
kiss
a voyeur.
Other
that's,
people.
That's not sick. That's just my way. That's my freak. That's how I get my freak on. How do you get your freak on? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Back to stupid Jay.
How do I?
You've got some weird kinks.
I mean, I don't want to see anyone that I care about kissing anyone else but me. But that's probably insecurity.
Really, so
you've
got a girlfriend.
Paranoia.
I cast her in a movie, and I'm like, she's got to kiss Trevor. You get a little tight about it, even though it's just a performance.
Oh, you would lose your mind.
I wouldn't even have it.
Yeah.
I don't want
it. Wouldn't even happen, sir.
She wouldn't
move on. I don't even want to pretend. I'm getting a little upset. I'm going to leave. So here you are finally in the movie. And you're very new to the Viewisk universe.
Yes.
But not new to film. You've done. I saw you, the first time I saw you was in Jeff's movie, Now You Know.
Yeah.
How was it when you got, who told you first? Was it Jeff or me?
Jeff called me out of the blue. I was working at my uncle's business, and it was a job that I really wasn't enjoying very much. There's Mosher.
Yes, Mosh. Yeah. Quick, say it.
Don't look at his wee-wee.
Yeah.
I really like that part.
Still don't look at his wee-wee.
That is one of my finest hours.
I was with my uncle, working at my uncle's business, and it was a job that I really didn't like very much, and I was kind of like, sort of on the verge of, I wouldn't say I was really like outright going to quit acting, like I wasn't going to actively quit, but it was just like I could kind of see it sort of atrophying and going away because I was just tired of the whole process. And then Jeff called me and told me about Clerks 2, and I've sort of jumped on the chance. Like, what was funny about it, though, is I guess you kind of, Jeff later told me that you would ask him, like, why have you asked Trevor yet about this Clerks 2? And Jeff was like, no, because I know that you guys are going to say that it's going to go then here, you know, it's going to get pushed back.
Yeah,
and pushed
we were
back.
Supposed to start earlier than we did.
So Jeff actually waited, like, what did you wait, like a year or something? Or
yeah, it was like 7 or 8 years. No, it was, I don't know. Yeah, that was kind of the way when it first came up. I think the first time I got the script from you, it was you gave me the script, and yes, I was interested in reading it. But at the time that you gave me the script, you said, you know, not only do you read the script just for the story of Clerks 2, but I want you to, when you're reading it, think about Trevor as Elias.
Mm.
And that was actually more exciting to me, was to read
like,
it for the Elias character.
But I
want to
read about this guy.
You know, and I sort of expected that character to be the same character that you had seen in Now You Know.
Right.
Because that was, you know, you obviously saw Trevor in that and you thought something for this. So I expected the character to be very much the same. And in reading it, it was a totally different character, but I saw Trevor doing it.
You saw it was weird because when I was writing it, I saw him doing it as well because I wrote the part with him in mind.
Remember when I thought I had a hernia?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You were very easily injured on the set. You were a series of maladies and psychosomatic injuries where you're like, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to die in 2 days.
We had to install one of those old people chairs on the stairs at the Days Inn just to get him down from his room. He had to sit in a chair.
And there was a medic alert beeper on that ring chain around his neck.
Like, I constantly had a megaphone that would like, help.
But didn't you actually call Kevin up at home on his cell phone
really
and tell him that?
I thought that I was hurting and I wasn't going to be able to do the thing.
Well, that was where a little education is a dangerous thing because we did that, you know, the Yank back stunt with the rope, and then he's like, I'm pretty sure I got a hernia from that.
No,
well,
it wasn't
that
from
and
that.
I was playing like
I climbed up a pole.
That was it. I climbed up a pole and fell or something like that. But he's like, I went to WebMD and I read that you can die from this, so I think I'm going to die in 24 hours. It was a real DOA scenario where he's like, you got 24 hours to finish the movie.
Well, the beauty of the whole thing is in any movie, like an independent film, you would have just done it. But because this was a Hollywood movie, we had somebody to train him. He had like a big protecting thing on. The cord was there. There was a big foam mat. Like it couldn't have been any safer. Like there's no way you could have gotten
hurt. The guy who's equivalent to that bear suit the dude wears in that one documentary, Project Grizzly, he was so fucking protected. And then somehow he managed to injure himself.
That guy who taught me how to do the
shot. Gary Jensen.
He was the guy who swings across the chasm with Princess Leia.
Yes.
Which I thought was kind of cool that he was teaching me how to fall down.
And yet you still managed to get hurt. Jesus.
And at the end of the day, did you have any herniated condition?
No, there was no. It was just a pulled muscle. I overreacted.
No.
I did a little bit.
You were like, I said it before.
Pull it.
I said it before. I will say it again, sir.
Ask me if I want to come over there and show you my muscles right now, Jeff.
You were like a poodle. On the set, as skittish and as easily distracted as a poodle.
That's not true.
Yeah, definitely. You were very.
Kevin once convinced his daughter when we were on the press tour, because Kevin and I went like to a few cities together. He once convinced his daughter over the phone through sheer rhetoric that I was thoroughly convinced her that I was actually, in fact, a poodle.
Yeah, she still believes it to this day. She buys it, even though the hair is not curly or anything. You know what I'm saying? It's not too difficult to convince anybody. So there's Rosario, who's not here today, but boy, did we love her, and she's great in the movie. She's a beating little heart of this movie did a phenomenal job, and boy, she came loaded for bear. Except like on that first day of rehearsal, she showed up, and she was, I guess, a little more casual about it until she found like Jeff was pretty much off book, and everybody was kind of doing almost on-camera performances, which wasn't true of 5 minutes prior to her getting there, because we were all sitting around rehearsing, and everyone was still kind of goofing off. The moment she walked in the room, it was like everybody, all the actors, I should say, collectively sucked in their guts, because they were like a pretty girl on set.
Literally.
And suddenly everyone, the whole room turned into a room full of Oliviers. Everyone was like top-notch and whatnot, and she said that made her jump up her game. But it was cool of her to do the movie because she's a rising star or a star, period. And, you know, who does Clerks, let alone Clerks 2, you know, where your career is kind of on the move. But she wound up getting some really cool notices out of the movie, so I guess it kind of worked out for her. This scene is a scene where people, one of the highlights of the flick, this Lord of the Rings and Donkey Show were three things that people always talk about, is the tuck scene. Was it difficult for you, sir, to throw the gear back?
No, I've done that a few times in my life. I've tucked my penis.
You were doing
back.
The tuck before Silence of the Lambs, actually. So much so that when me and Brian Johnson went to see Silence of the Lambs, we were just like, he's doing a muse. Because you've been doing that tuck thing for ages.
You used to love the tuck.
I still do. I put it in a feature. I still love it so much. I think it's oddly sexy when you're naked and all tucked back. I'm like, that's the perfect version of Jay. Because you can hang out with him, bullshit with him, and every once in a while you can throw him a bone and be like, let's fuck, dude. You got a mangina, let's do it. Was it weird to do it on the set?
Yeah, nah, a little bit. I was more concerned with my ass coming out.
Why so your ass?
Because my ass is pretty disgusting.
In what way?
But
we saw
really
your ass pressed against
that.
The glass.
Yeah. But it was pressed against... yeah!
Brian remembers that part very well.
It was against the glass, and it's through, like, you're really not concentrating on that. They're doing their scene, so you sit on that, and you're not focused on my bung piece.
Do you think anywhere, somewhere...
But it's also pressed against glass, so you can't see, like, the stretch marks and, like, the pale. It's a
I
real
disagree. I would imagine if you look closer, you'd probably see the stretch marks. Even more.
No.
A lot of action back there. A lot of junk in that trunk. Do you think in
what
some
happened?
Weird...
What are you talking about?
He said, why do you have stretch marks? Would you have
I'm
a
doing
kid?
A whole lot of fucking. A lot of this movement stretches your ass out. You'll get that one day,
wouldn't
son.
That get you more tone?
You'll get that one day.
Sorry, can I see that moving again? I haven't got that. Wow.
That's a weird
hinge. It's almost like you're doing the worm. Now we know why you're so good at that.
That movement probably lost on the audience.
Do you think somewhere down the road, Rosario puts that ass against the glass scene on a loop and jerks off to you? Does it ever get flipped
more
where she comes up to you one day?
More of the tuck.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think she ever comes up to you and she's like,
I was just watching your scene the same way
you
deserve.
I've seen her since then, and she has told me that.
Did she?
Yeah.
Fill in, sir. Gdish.
She told me that she... No. She didn't say
couldn't carry it through.
I have seen her, but...
But she didn't mention
I ran into her at a beach, which was really random.
What beach?
In Malibu. She was having a party for, like, something, Latinos, something, I don't
she
know.
She lives up there, I think.
No, she doesn't. They rented the house.
Area.
You don't know. What? You're like Brian, and she's like, I talked to her today. She told me she lives there.
Yeah, no,
you're
I
all full
here.
Of shit. No one talks to her, okay?
Trail.
Motherfuckers. You're like, I talk to her every night. No, but I ran into her at a beach. She rented a house for some Latino, something.
I like what I do here.
And you ran into
okay,
her?
Let's talk more about this.
Wait, so you finish your story. You ran
Trevor
into her.
Trevor likes what he does like here.
You ran into her, you chit chat. What do you
yes.
do?
I said, hey.
And that was
I watched Alexander again and spanked. Just had to come here and
like,
let you know
again?
This. All the way to Malibu to the beach to let you know that I masturbated to you yet again. And this time it was really nice.
I would imagine you said that to her at her Latino beach party.
It really was.
It was how'd you get in? You're not Latino.
I looked Latino at the time. I had some special effects makeup on and
speedos.
And were you busting gold. Little 2-in-1 homes?
No.
Button your
no,
top.
No, was. It was
your
right
shirt.
On the beach, and I was at this house like two doors down, seeing and I saw Cliff Collins on the beach and ran down and jerked him off, and then we were talking, and he said, "Oh, Rosario's having this party," and I said, "Oh, I want to say what's up." And it's no big deal. It's sort of lame. So let's go back to this, where homeboy from Alias, one of my favorite characters of Alias,
Kevin Wiseman.
Yes, sir.
Home or homeboy, as he's known in some circles.
He is known as homeboy in some circles.
Yeah, he came in and did a great job, man. He was originally, we were going after Dave Cross, I believe.
Yep.
And Dave
yeah.
Cross was
schedule.
Wanted to, but it was a
he
schedule
was
thing.
Development.
He was still doing Arrested Development. And so we went, I think it was it Alex? Was it your old lady?
Yeah.
The now present Mrs. Mosier. Scott yeah. got married a few days
yeah.
ago.
Yeah!
Yeah. Yes, another one bites the dust.
Now that it's on a commentary.
Yeah, now it's official. Now.
Your wedding is dated.
I know.
Was she the one that suggested? Well, she was watching Alias at the time?
She was watching at the time. She was Netflixing all of Alias. So I would come in and she would tell me to be really quiet because you can't talk when she's watching TV. But
and yet you still married her.
I did. Well.
Hi, honey. Shut up. I'm watching Alias.
We're getting married soon.
Okay. This guy's the coolest. He's Kevin Wiseman. He was one of the coolest guys that I've probably ever worked with. He's just a really congenial.
It's a nice thing to say with yeah. everybody here.
Yeah, what the yeah, fuck, Trevor? Really. I've worked with you a number of times now.
Yeah, like the
Trevor's are.
I
mean,
yeah,
the
hostility in this room. I swear to God.
No wonder you're
insulting the whole room.
You guys are
still just a little jerk off.
Why is he jerk off?
No reason. Can I ask some, do you think people, it bothers people when you're like, well, we wanted David Cross, but we had to settle for.
No, because it wasn't a matter, but I didn't say we settled.
You didn't
we
say you settled,
Cross,
but you're pretty much.
Well, there's a list. I mean, aside from a case like you and Brian and Jeff, it's like there are parts to be filled. So, you know, you go to
but
some
you
person.
You said I'd rather go with David Cross. But
I didn't say I'd rather. I said we went to David Cross first. No, I didn't at all. I said we went to David Cross first. David Cross couldn't do it, and then we were looking for somebody else, and then Kevin Wiseman came up.
I wanted to go with John such and such and Bill such and such, but I
believe
guess
me, right
got
about now, I'm wishing I'd went with fucking Seth Green for you, sir. That's just the nature of the game. You've been blessed in as much as you keep getting a part writ for you, but some people have to. Sometimes you go for someone you want. Rosario wasn't even the first person we went for Becky.
All right, it was more of a question. I wasn't
first person we went
balls,
to
so
was
really
Bryce.
Was asking, do you think it bothers people?
And I'm telling you, no, I don't think it does. But I told you, I don't think it does. Bother. And then you're like, no, wait, let me pick at this wound a little more. And I'm telling you, I don't think it does. Well, talk to the other
to
actors.
To quote a line
people,
from the movie, will you two just fucking get it over with?
If you've been an actor who've went for auditions for other movies and shit like that. Right. Does it ever bother you if you get a part that like they went to somebody else first? Or are you just happy you got a part?
I don't want to aggravate an already touchy situation, but I've had this exact experience where I've had it actually a number of times where I was cast like the third person cast for the same role, mm-hmm. and that not only does it not bother me, like I feel like exhilarated in a way, in a sort of twisted way that I like that other guy, I took it from him.
Totally.
Like, I, from the jaws of it being over there, I was like, no, it's mine.
And also, there's an instance of work is work, too.
I'm not, that ain't the same thing, because I'm not saying he didn't take it from dude. He just, the other guy couldn't do it. So he was next in line.
No, that's what I mean. I just allude.
But technically, maybe he did take it. But technically, maybe he did take it from dude. Because let's say we were so dialed in on David Cross, we're like, all right, we'll move the schedule around and make it work for him. But instead, we were like, hey, let's look at Kevin Wiseman, because Mosier's old lady brought it up. And then we were like, oh, let's go with him instead. So technically, you could say that he did razzle it away from dude.
Sometimes it's not so much like you sit there and go like, this is the best person. This is the second best person. This is the third best person. There's like a lot of good people. And like David Cross had come up because we were watching Arrested Development. And then ultimately it's like when he was unable to do it, it's like sometimes you're not going down the list as far as like, and the silver medal goes to, and the, you know, it's like,
it's not like this dude's worse than this dude, or, but we'll take him anyway. It's just like, here are a bunch, here's a pool of people we would like to choose from. Any one of them would be good. You got to go to somebody first. Let's go to this guy first. With Rosario, we went to, we didn't go to, technically, I don't know, maybe we did. Harvey had met with Bryce Howard, the chick who was in The Village, and she was just in Lady in the Water. And he was like, she's a big fan. She likes the Clerks movies. So when I met with her,
like,
I had
there's only one.
Yeah, I was like, there's just one so far. So I brought a copy of the script and gave it to her. And then she was like, we had a nice lunch meeting and shit. And then I heard that she didn't want to do it. And I was like, well, I guess she didn't want to say ass to mouth and shit like that. When I was on the press tour for this movie, I ran into her at MTV. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I couldn't tell you in that meeting that I knew I was doing Lady in the Water because Night Shyamalan wouldn't let me say anything, but I knew that I had this movie lined up, at which point I was like, that's totally cool. But I was thinking, why the fuck did you take the meeting then? What's the point? But maybe she just, sometimes you just have meetings for the sake of meeting. And maybe I sprung the script on her. She didn't know she was getting a script. Who knows? We went to her. We went to Ellen Pompeo, who was just finishing up the pilot for Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. And she read the script, and her agent really wanted her to do it, but she was just like, I'm trying to stick with this Grey's thing because I got a leading role in this, and I'm hoping it's going to pan out. Mm-hmm. It did pan out, so she passed. We went to Sarah Silverman. Sarah Silverman was just like, if you let me play Randall, I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
She's like, but I don't want to play a girlfriend. She's like, I'm trying to do something else in my career right now. And then we were like, all right, so let's go. Who else is on the list? And we went to Rosario. And at that point, we were just thinking, like, if we go to Rosario and Rosario's going to say no because her star is on the rise, at that point we'd go back to Harvey and be like, look, nobody wants to do it, so let us cast whoever we want. Because originally it was supposed to, it was going to be Jen playing Becky instead of Emma. That's who I'd written it for. So we figured if we go to Rosario and Rosario passes, we go to Harvey and be like, look, dude, nobody wants to do a Clerks movie, let alone Clerks 2 in that female role. So let me cast whoever I want to cast. But oddly enough, Rosario said, yeah. So now, is Rosario a worse actress than those other three actresses? Shit, no. But there was a pool of people to choose from. So I don't think actors get
it would be great
tight
if
about
she
that
was
thing.
Here right now.
She could probably defend
herself.
She could
answer your question.
Yeah, she could probably tell you exactly
she's
what you need
to
know.
Kind of had to go
I'm
going to
try and throw us off this topic here. That's the first time I'd heard that Jen was supposed to play that part.
Yeah,
what did you think about changing the girl parts, like, because that's a weird thing when you're going into it knowing you're going to play one part, and then all of a sudden now you're playing a different part.
So you're like, let's take it from an uncomfortable place all and bring it to an even worse place.
Well, no, I wouldn't imagine it was an uncomfortable thing.
No,
maybe it was, but
no, it was.
Well, see, that's what I'm asking. I've never heard so.
No, it wasn't. Harvey said no. That's pretty much.
That's pretty much it. But were you tight about it? Were you like,
no, thank God, it went the way that it did.
But were you tight about it in the moment that you heard? When I was just like, Harvey says that he wants to put a name actress in Becky. Harvey's point,
wasn't
too.
Wasn't I like, all right, I'll play Emma?
Yeah, it was such a non-issue, but I was going to let you tell the story. But yeah, she was just like, whatever. I just want to be in it.
See, that wasn't so bad.
No, it wasn't really. But to his credit, too, he wasn't like, fuck Jen. You know, he was just like, because I said, well, I do. He was more like, I just need to put somebody on a poster that somebody other than you might recognize. And I was like, all right, fair enough, because it's me and Jay and you and Brian and Jeff. So he wanted to put a name or face on the poster as if anybody other than our core audience was going to show up to see the movie, as if it would make, you know, the legions of Rosario Dawson fans out there go like, I want to check that movie out. And at the end of the day, I don't think that really matters. I mean, because there's a two in the title. You assume that people are familiar with the other flicks. So I don't know how many other new people or fresh people you're going to get out of that for that audience. I don't know. This was the scene, well, the scene that just ended. You loved hopping up and down, didn't you? I was going through all the footage the other day looking for outtakes, and at one point you stopped jumping, and you're like, I feel like a fucking idiot. And we did that like eight times, too.
This has haunted me. Since I first saw it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like you have this sensually shaped body that, like, you almost want. It's like almost feminine in a way.
He's hairless.
A little bit. In that, like,
he's got childbearing hips, doesn't he?
Something like that, yeah.
Jay, do you feel uncomfortable with the fact that Jen saw you that way?
No, because it's not my actual piece. If my penis was showing, yes. Very.
So that you're all cool with.
Yeah, but you were doing the stretch, too. Because
it's like having shorts on, but a little
hair
something.
Shorts.
Hair shorts.
hair shorts.
It's like hair shorts.
You were doing the stretch in advance, though. You're trying to, like, get it to its best, most presentable, just in case
just
it did
case
slip out.
I wanted a little blood flowing in there, so if it did fall out, it wasn't all tight.
It's called
masturbation.
Don't let him fool you into thinking he was stretching.
Dude quick ran up, watched a little Alexander, came back down. I'm ready to go. Quick shoot.
Just been up in my room stretching.
I would have got offended if when I pulled the coat open, I had a full-on erection.
Would anyone on the set get offended?
I don't think
we have that kind of crew.
No.
You think everyone would just been like, oh, oh gosh, put that little thing away.
I think
girls
you would have got
like,
some. I think you would have got some of that. You would have gotten some takers. If a chick sees a dude with it, we got a chick in the room, so we can ask. If a chick sees a dude erect, like a guy sees a girl naked and he gets a little turned on? If a chick sees a dude erect, does she get turned on at all?
I imagine it depends on the dude.
All right, so you see Muse erect.
Oh,
we don't really have that.
Not you, but like a chick sees Muse erect, does she get a little? Ooh.
I'm thinking that some of the ladies on the set may have been interested.
I think some got a little interested without you even having to pull out an erect pecker.
That's true.
Am I right? Did you hook up on this?
No.
Oh, don't fucking lie.
Oh, stop. Don't even.
Oh, something you don't want to talk about, sir? Some uncomfortable subject. Why? Why don't you want to talk about that?
What else was uncomfortable?
Why don't you want to talk? I don't understand why that's
why.
Yeah, why? Tell me.
Because he had a girlfriend.
No, that's not true.
It's more about he has a girlfriend now, and he doesn't want her knowing that there was ever any girls before her or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Virgin. I told her that I was a virgin.
Did you?
Yeah.
This might be my favorite. This is fucking dirty. I love it.
Is that why you want, as if she's ever going to listen to the commentary track, is that why you wouldn't want to talk about getting laid on the show?
No, that ain't why at all.
Then why?
There's no paternity suits flying around.
No.
And don't tell me, like, I don't like to kiss and tell. Because you're the first dude that's just like, oh, you know who I fucked?
He
does his handshake like that. Why? I'm just curious, why?
Because I don't know. It's just, you know.
Oh my God! You never had a loss of something to say. It's
because
odd.
I don't want to mention who.
Yeah, I'm not saying names, but you did hook up.
Oh yeah.
Man,
well,
that
I wasn't
was a
worried.
Long
I didn't. Well, you're
yeah, it really was. I really should cut to the chase and said, without names, did you hook up?
Oh, I thought you were saying let's talk about who it was.
No,
who,
no.
I thought you already
about
knew
how it was.
Yeah, was it any good?
What?
Was it any good?
Sure.
How many different people, women, we should stress, on the crew did you hook up with?
I don't remember.
Oh,
wow.
God. Fucking so tight-lipped.
I really don't remember. I don't.
Really? Is it all blurred?
There was a few. There was a few, though.
And was it awkward to go to work with them the next day?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Because you didn't remember.
Yeah, because I totally forgot.
Yeah. Yeah,
short-term memory comes in handy.
Who was it?
Why are you hugging me? Get off of me.
No, because it wasn't like that at all. It wasn't like, I really like you. Let's do this.
Mm.
I think they were in it for just like, just fuck me and don't talk to me tomorrow, too.
That's what they said. They're like, look, before we do this, I don't want you talking to me tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like, don't look me in the eyes tomorrow, motherfucker.
You got a pen. I want to jot down, I really like you. Let's do this.
Well, that's
thanks, Jen. You really helped me out. Can we wrap this up so I can go out and give that one a shot?
Is anyone else getting laid while we're making the movie?
I've
was certainly getting
ever,
laid.
I had a little tumultuous fling on the set.
You did. It was like high school high.
Yeah,
you
it was
had
weird.
A real, oh my you God. Had a real locker room relationship.
That makeup trailer in the mornings, you knew what mood people were in just from when he walked into that trailer.
It was like it was literally like walking through high school.
Can we get
it
the
was.
Definition of tumultuous?
It was weird. It was like
tumultuous
the pronunciation.
Rocky, friction, not okay. smooth. No, it wasn't as simple as him going, I like you, let's do this.
Yeah. No. I think mine works a little better.
Yeah.
A little more sincerity to it.
There's
I like
psychological
you, let's do this.
There's something that happens on a movie set where it's just like, what are they, it's like a desert, because you're kind of like all crammed in together and it's sort of like a desert island thing. And
it's like going to camp.
Yeah, yeah, and it just screws camp. With your, like, thing. Your priorities shift a little bit and you like things become amplified and, you know, I kind of like, just I'm already kind of prone to being like to becoming like
to becoming period becoming. And that was amplified and you're like I want to be coming with somebody
so let's what did you just say to me what did you
I said becoming coming a little bitch.
You owe me an apology, sir. Apologize.
Sorry.
This is easily the most hostile and aggro commentary track I've ever been involved in.
Hey, look at the great scene that's the
somebody's
going
to it's going to come to blows
shining.
Before it's all over and not the blows that come after I like you. Let's do this. Yeah. So it was and that lasted almost the whole show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You
it
probably don't
want
to
like,
identify.
It was kind of like this weird it was a very weird.
It was a crew member, it wasn't a cast member.
It was a crew member.
Yeah, it was very weird. It was very very high school.
Yeah, it was weird and unprofessional, I might add.
Why unprofessional? Wow. I don't think that's unprofessional. Yeah. What, on your behalf?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It was just like, because it was like, it got, like, that's the reason that you don't, when I said unprofessional, I wasn't only referring to her, certainly.
But even so, I don't think that's necessarily
I think the reason that you don't
weren't
do,
in that makeup
that
room.
You don't do those things, I think the reason that you don't do those things, or that you, it's sort of a rule not to do those things in a professional environment is because it leads to, oftentimes, you know, tense emotions, and then that can affect, you know.
And other people get caught in the crossfire who just want to get their makeup done.
Right, okay. I mean, whatever. Anyway,
that like I said,
but
crew member.
Always happens. People always hook up.
Yeah,
it's not a rule. If it's a rule,
there would be no Bradgelina
really
if that rule wasn't violated. Right. You know, it's like that happens all the time.
Yeah, I didn't feel too guilty about it. I thought I should just say that.
All right.
But no, she was. It was. She's. I don't harbor a grudge. I don't like. It was just a really weird situation.
And then, oddly enough, after the movie, you wound up dating someone from one of our other movies.
Yeah, who I'm still dating.
You're still dating Renee Humphreys.
Renee Humphrey, the
Trish the Dish.
Oh, that's gonna date you,
Trish. Trish. We actually have a pretty serious relationship. We've been dating for like 7 months now.
Really? I heard you officially asked her out. Like,
yeah,
like,
I asked her to go steady with me. That was months ago, though.
Talk about dating.
Talk about high school too. I mean, good God, sir.
I gave her my Letterman jacket.
You gotta take a few tips from Muse, and not just go with like, will you be my steady?
This.
Yeah,
hey,
I like you. Let's
about
do
other
this.
Drama. Now here's your beef with Jason
yeah,
Lee.
What's,
what happened?
What is
oh,
your
yeah,
Jason
okay,
Lee
so
story?
I went
How
up
did
to
you
Jason,
disrupt Jason Lee?
I was a little bit nervous just because he was the first like you know famous person that I was working with on the movie because you guys don't count. And that was a joke. So he like I went up to him and I was like I was just trying to break the ice. And so I said, we were doing my close-ups, and I said, Jason, I'm going to need a little bit more energy from you on this take. And he just kind of went, okay, and looked away. And in Jason's defense, that is a lame joke.
Mm.
But I guess I was hoping for a little bit more, like, I don't know, like, I still to this day
don't
really
understand.
I don't
think he was as offended as I am hearing it now. That's a directorial note right there.
Right.
Across lines, job. You were up in my kitchen. It didn't bother him too, but he must have known you were kidding sooner or later. Did you go tell him later on, like, I'm sorry, I was kidding. You're so famous.
I didn't really have
You're almost famous. No, I'm almost famous.
I didn't really have the opportunity, but then when I saw him again at the premiere, I said, hello. And I felt the same kind of, like, stand-up. Like, I think maybe he was still mad at me.
No, not at all. When he was done with that day, I don't know, maybe he is, but when he was done with that day, he said, like, I like that kid. He's really good.
Oddly, Jason was supposed to be here today, too, but he didn't come. Thank you, Trevor.
There you go. That
He's like, wait, who's going to be there?
Rosario and Jason.
The two people you had fights with
are not here. Interesting.
Well, in Trevor's defense, it is a hard group to walk into as an actor because all of these guys have been playing the same characters for so long.
Mm-hmm.
12 years, you guys have... gotten very comfortable with these characters and with each other. So I think that you did really, really well.
Thank you, Jen.
Just coming into the group.
Thank you, Jen, the one
establishing,
person who said something nice to me
today. Very unique character.
No, it's not the Trevor Kiss Assathon. It's a commentary track.
Mm-hmm. So that means the Trevor Kiss Assathon.
I heard you, son. We're on the same page there.
Say that.
You want people to say nice things? You're great in the movie.
Thank you very much.
I think it goes without saying that I think everyone in this room was great in the movie. I think everyone in the movie was
Trevor,
great in the movie.
You were amazing in the movie.
Does anyone look at the movie and go like, it was kind of weak? Like, there's nobody I look at and I feel
really
like...
I do want this to come to blows.
I don't feel like there's anyone that I was kind of like...
I fucking hated Mosier in it.
Really? Mosier, I thought Mosier made me laugh.
Nah, I'm kidding. I love Mosier in it. Can you do that for us again?
So, you say it was weird walking into a bunch of people playing the roles that they play for a while?
Well, just with a new character. I mean, these characters are so comfortable to all of the people that play them, right? And you guys have...
Well, me and Muse, I can make the argument, because we've done it so many times. Mm-hmm. You guys have done Dante and Randall, I guess, enough times, too. The movie, the cartoon, and then in Jay and Bob, Flying Car.
But the tone has been set between the characters and their relationships and whatnot. And Trevor just sort of merged right into, the guys.
Well, if it's my turn to stroke you now, it would be to say that, I'm actually serious, that you were probably specifically, or I should say especially, integral in helping me feel like, part of the family or whatever. Jeff, of course, was like, it was good to have Jeff around because I had done a movie with him before. But you really went out of your way to,
Make
me. Yeah, Jen.
Is that who you had the tumultuous affair with on the movie? Because if I'm hearing it here for the first time, that'd be very awkward.
Is it hiding here? No.
You were real, you and Muse were the two true cheerleaders on the movie.
Yeah, Muse.
Like
really,
you were the two
we
dudes
did a lot
that.
Lot too.
Yeah.
Say that though,
this dude was. This dude are. Was. He went from setting poker parties up to you setting up poker parties and whatnot.
We had a good time. It was like a dorm sort of
vibe.
Really
and everything.
Lots of drinking
it was,
beer.
To make me feel.
I'm so glad. No, it was a really fun set.
It was fun. I had a great time. I had a blast. One of the best times ever in my life.
That was one of your first really sort of on-location experiences, right? Or no?
I mean, yes, insofar as I haven't really had that much experience, but no, insofar as, in terms of the percentage of stuff that I've done, actually probably a greater percentage of it has been on location. But this wasn't even really that on location for me because I live in Long Beach. I was only 15 minutes from home, but I chose to stay at the Days Inn because of which tells you something about how much fun the atmosphere was. Yeah,
even Rosario stayed at the Days Inn with us, and she could have gotten a car home every day.
Well, I mean, the Days Inn, nothing wrong with it. It was actually an all right place. As long as you brought your own sheets, it was pretty good. Muse set up house there and whatnot.
No, I did.
It was like your own little apartment, your first big boy apartment. I like this place.
This is one of my favorite scenes ever. But that whole day at that fucking go-kart place was awesome.
No dialogue, except for like...
It was just driving, and they called lunch. I was like, thank you, I'm fat enough. I just want to keep riding.
I like how, because all the sounds drops out, it looks like you're driving little hovercrafts more than go-karts.
One of my favorite scenes.
Speaking of performances and whatnot, does anyone feel really close to their character? Like, I look at his performance, and when I'm pointing to Trevor, and you hear Trevor speak, and he's very different from Elias. Like, it is kind of 180 degrees from the character you play. But when I look at Jay and I look at Brian and Jeff playing their parts, and it always to me seems like extensions of who you guys really are to a large degree, because I don't know, maybe that's because of the first one or because we've spent so much time with these characters. Do you feel very different, like 180 degrees from Randall?
I think when we did the first one, I was probably 180 degrees from Randall, but over the years, I've slowly grown into him, which is probably not the way it was supposed to go. I don't know. It's everybody always says, like, in getting the script and stuff, and you do that character very well, and it's on the page to me. Like, even the first time we sat down and read Randall the first time, way back when in my house, it just seemed easy. Like, the character was on the page, and there weren't a whole lot of questions about him.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I'm pretty similar.
What about you, sir?
I got to say there's a lot of Dante in me, but there's also a lot of Randall in me. I'm a very
wise ass sarcastic.
A gay comment?
Well, not really. You know, we just
want to clarify.
That was a really gay comment because it says a lot of Randall.
A lot of.
Well, that's
it's
accurate.
Actually also a compliment. If,
isn't
you know,
there a lot
life.
Of Randall in all of us?
So yeah, there. You know, it's.
I
not
was
that
not
far
the person finished. Trevor had a relationship with on the set too. Just to
be,
clarify,
it will be out by the end of this.
It was so high school. It was like, you know, in high school when
Wanda
two
Sykes,
dudes get attracted to one another.
Wanda Sykes is one of my favorite people in the world because she played Biggie Shorty in Pootie Tang, one of my favorite movies.
Right on. I remember you were going around with the camera that one day trying to kiss people.
Muse,
and she wouldn't kiss
Muse
you.
Muse somehow got me to do this thing, which I did not want to do, which involved me going around with a camera asking girls to kiss me. And Muse made this rule that I couldn't tell them why I was asking them.
Good rule.
So, okay, so and were these legally binding rules? Why didn't you just tell them on the sly? Like, because Muse told you you couldn't? You were
because
like,
it was an honor. It was an honorable agreement, and I was going to, you
between
know,
two gentlemen.
Why
right,
didn't
between
you just
two gentlemen.
Not do it?
Why didn't you just...
Because I wanted to kiss girls on camera.
Why didn't you just tell them, I like you, let's do this?
Jay, do you feel close to the Jay character?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, pretty close.
In what way?
Him and I hang out. I call him up once in a while. I say, let's do this. Yeah. I mean, definitely.
Or do you look at the character and you're like, that ain't me? It's to me,
some
it will
stuff.
Always represent more of who you were when you were like 16,
yeah.
13 to 16. But over the years, more of you comes into it, or more your colloquialisms and whatnot. But still, the character always seems very different.
Describe colloquialisms.
sir, using the term sir, snoogan, snoochie boochies, nah, all that. Those are colloquialisms. But I feel like it is a vast difference from who you are in real life. So do you feel like when you're playing the character, it's a real performance, or is it kind of easy? Or both?
I'd say it's pretty easy because I think, like you said, it's definitely a lot of it's from when I was younger and some of the stuff I do say, but I don't think I'm that obnoxious. I'm obnoxious, but not that obnoxious.
Mm.
And so I don't know. And then changing it to like the sober, of course, that's, you know, I'm sober now and he was sober. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty definitely close, but more so when I was younger, like you said.
One thing that didn't come out that I would never have gotten the impression of just from watching the other Skinner's movies and then meeting you is that, like, none of your congeniality comes out in the character of Jay. Like, Jay is kind of like this, he's a little bit hostile and volatile. And I would say, like, upon meeting you, your congeniality is maybe, like, the thing that's most characteristic about you. Like, I really think you're one of those people who can, like, kind of just get along with almost anybody, you know what I mean?
$1 million heart.
Yeah.
Nickel head.
And
$1 million heart.
This is hysterical.
You are. You're
Jake
very lovable.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Except for me on occasion.
He finds congenial.
It's very rare that there's actually people that you don't like where you're like, I don't like that person.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
I can't.
Somebody that you don't like.
Are we doing the enemies list here
yeah,
today?
Let's do it.
Totally. This is the Nixon commentary.
Those two motherfuckers right there. No, I don't think I...
What about ex-girlfriends? Do you ever not like them?
No.
You're okay with all of them?
I don't really dislike many people. I don't think I... I mean, I might not get along with someone, but I still don't dislike them. I'd be like, oh, that person's a real jerk off. I don't really think I care enough about that person to rent space in my head. That's, you know, I mean, I can just let it go. But I might not want to, like, go hang out with them. So I don't know. I don't like that, dude. Look at that. That's my favorite part, Smalls.
What, Biggie Smalls?
With those eyes are just so, he's like.
And Joey was the other guy. Joey of Joey Zach fame. Zach, later on, we meet as the donkey fucker. Were the two dudes running around recording those train wreck documentaries behind the scenes the whole
those
time.
Those guys are like the
And
nicest,
they did the documentary on this
the
on this DVD.
Like most gentle motorcycle thugs.
Yeah. It totally. If you saw those two dudes out somewhere, you'd be like, I'm going to walk across the street.
Right. I mean,
but like you talk to them and they're like, hey, what's up?
Within minutes, I would be like, I would introduce these people to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so like intimidating looking.
As a boyfriend?
I've said too much.
The way you said, like, I would introduce them
right,
to my mother.
You're right, it did kind of come out like that. I just meant like they were that like I would feel cut anyway. Moving
on. One last note on a performance inhabiting a character. You play the anti-Jen in the movie. You're actually playing a character that's not you in real life. Was that weird?
You just kept telling me to jump up and down and smile a lot.
That was my only direction.
Bigger, bigger.
Particularly on the swings, I was like, jump up and down. I was laughing.
That's his answer to everything.
Yeah, totally. And whenever there's a problem, like jump up and down.
Yeah, poor Emma. She was so happy.
Part that was hear her, right?
What's that?
Hating Jersey.
Oh, actually, yeah, he's right. Yeah.
So there was mm-hmm. that little bit of.
There was that.
That's yes. true.
So that wasn't hard to say.
No, that was not hard to say.
Mm-mm. What was your beef with
Here
Jersey?
Comes the fan mail.
No, I don't.
What you got is you're on record. It. What was your beef with Jersey?
Not
so much the state itself, but what?
I moved to Jersey to be with you.
Yeah.
From California, from Los Angeles, and I just missed my home.
And your home was California.
Right.
Even though you'd only been there for what, 7 years?
Long enough.
Right.
Yes.
So it just wasn't your cup of tea.
Right.
That's a fairly safe answer.
Yeah.
You like that?
You ain't kidding. Political. We'll fight in the car on the way home. Like, the fuck do you have to bring that up? Or just Muse brought it up.
When we went to I'd never been to New Jersey until we did the last week there. Mm. It was like, because I'm from Minnesota, and a lot of, I mean, when we flew into the airport, I didn't really like it, but I don't really like any, like, urban city atmosphere. Like, that's not really my thing. But then once we got into, like, Red Bank, and it was the fall, and there were, like, leaves everywhere. It was actually, like, really beautiful. It reminded me of Minnesota. I don't know why, I don't know why Jersey had, I mean, maybe because it's boring or something, but.
Why Jersey, what, has a bad reputation?
Yeah.
I think it's Jersey City. It's where
like
you land in. Forest.
Yeah, well,
I
it's.
Hate forest.
It's what? A hate forest?
Yeah, it seems like most of Jersey is actually just a big woods.
Well, that's
State.
Called the Garden State.
Right.
That's there not irony.
Yeah. I mean, but where you fly into like oil refineries and shit like
that.
Yeah,
I suppose.
But yeah, you get out there. I mean, a big farm country too. Jersey tomatoes.
Jersey Shore.
And the beach as well, which
Jersey
is not.
Jersey vagina.
Yeah.
Jersey vagina.
Kiss her where it smells, take her to New Jersey, that kind of thing.
Jersey
you know,
to choose gum, doesn't it?
We take a lot of heat because we were, you know, not New York.
Right, exactly.
So you're the butt of a lot of jokes and whatnot. Yeah. For you three, for Jay and for Brian and for Jeff, do you feel typecast at this point?
No, I mean, it's recognized, you know, my recognition factor, yes, I'm recognized a lot. By being Dante, even when I shave off the Van Dyke, people are like, you played Gil, didn't you? Which is kind of scary that people even recognize me that way. But I, you know, I get cast in other things plenty of times that have nothing to do with convenience store clerking or sappy type of, you know, schlubs.
Like, I didn't know they called people Dante in Shakespeare times. I am not typecast. I am no cast, sadly enough.
Now having played him more than once, do you ever regret playing Randall or Dante? Do you ever feel like, fuck, I wish I hadn't done that? No.
Some of the best times I've ever had has been playing these characters. One of the best times, without a doubt, was doing the cartoon records. Was the most
you
fun
love
I've
the
ever.
Cartoon.
I
fucking bad way.
You know why? Because you got to. It was,
you can go to
it
work
was
in
a
your
half
underwear.
An hour. No, it was not that, but. Each story was 22 minutes of fucking hilarious scripts, and you'd get a whole different scenario the following week. And if that had kept going on, and anything that would have hit you as a writer, you could have thrown these characters to play out. That, you know, as an actor, you love to see where these characters would go that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, as a writer, don't you feel like you wouldn't mind?
I enjoy the cartoon, but I like the movies more than the cartoon. I mean, but it's like apples and oranges for some reason.
I was gonna say, yeah,
different kinds of comedy, really.
It sort of reminds me of, like the way that comic books have different continuums. Is that a conscious thing on your part? Because I mean, you're obviously a comic book guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Jeff, do you?
Can I answer this with a yes?
Yeah, go ahead. Do you ever wish that you hadn't played Randall?
I don't think so. No.
Did it adversely affect your life, or did it positively affect your life?
I don't know. It definitely changed the course of my life in a lot of ways.
What do you think you'd be doing if we never did Clerks back in 93?
Jesus.
Because weren't you going to architecture school or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but I knew I would never have done that. Mm-hmm. Like I really wasn't interested in that. And so I guess in that way, the movie came along at the right time to sort of divert me and get me away from that, because I knew I didn't want to do that, but I just knew also that I had to go to school and do something.
Right.
You know? I don't know. It really did. It totally changed the course of my life, and I'm still undecided if it was for the better or not.
The book's still out.
Right now, Muse is staring at the screen.
The dance sequence.
And we got the boobies bouncing.
Yeah, some people have said it's the best special effect in the movie. But it's all natural, as they say. And then she had the temerity, too, when we were on the roof, to be like, oh, I didn't know the girls would be bouncing like that. I would have wore a different top. I was like, you were wearing this top the whole movie. But I think she knew. How could you not know? She must dance in real life, correct?
Yeah, oh, look at that dance.
The black guys.
She just got done doing Rent.
That's our sole move. I know, because you could see your man boobs jiggling like mine. I had more moving up and down than Rosario. Sir, you've played Jay 6 times over the course of 13 years, not to mention the cartoon and various other things. Or is there ever a moment where you're like, I fucking wish I had never played that character?
Not at all.
No?
No.
What do you think you'd be doing if we hadn't done Clerks?
Sucking dick for beer money.
That was that rolled off so quickly. I'm not sure whether to laugh or be like, well, I guess he really believes.
He said
it.
What you'd be doing if you didn't do the movie, not what you're doing now.
Now the beers are free. Yeah. The dick sucking's a choice.
Mm-hmm. Why do you suck money for junk? Like, why for beer? Yeah. You can get
hold
a
out.
Job.
Hold out for heroin, sir. Beer. Don't do it for beer.
No. But
you have to want to suck dick if you're doing it for beer.
The beer is just to wash the taste out after you're done before you head over to the next dick.
You can get some Schlitz for like nothing.
Schlitz is pretty cheap at $8 a case.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I suck dick for beer money, because I only get $10 for a blowjob.
So. Do you ever regret playing Jay in the first place?
No.
What do you think you'd be doing if you hadn't done it, besides sucking dick for beer? What course would your life have taken? Would you have stayed a roofer?
Probably.
Would we still be hanging out in Jersey?
I would hope so.
Probably. You'd probably be living with me.
Yeah, probably.
At my mom's and dad's.
Probably.
So what would happen to you, Mr. Smith?
I'd probably still be working at that convenience store.
Really?
Yeah.
And dodging phone calls from the credit card companies?
Probably. Had we made Clerks and nothing happened to it?
Had we made Clerks, nothing happened with it.
I got to imagine, 13 years later.
Would you have stuck it out and still wrote another script?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that would have been it. And I think every once in a while I would call everybody up and be like, let's watch our movie. Because that would be the only audience. But I think right about now, maybe I'd be close to paying off the credit card debt.
Aye.
You think so? Aye. Like after 13 years?
No, you would have filed bankruptcy.
No.
Back then, why not?
I don't think so, because basically you could pay the minimums off, and like the interest, like up until the movie got bought.
You'd still be working in the store?
Totally.
Oh, you would have stuck a gun in your mouth long ago.
I don't know. I like that job.
Fucking milkmaids.
I like that job. It's a good job. I think in the back of my head, I would always think like maybe one day the Toppers will want to sell it and I could buy it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't. I'm not very creative.
Randall.
Essentially, when I fucking write movies, I just go, "What would I do in an alternate timeline or something like that?" But I like that job.
You
it wasn't
the store wired, huh? It'd be wireless, so you could use.
Oh
your...
my god, I'd be all over it. I wonder if that's the big question, though. I wonder if I hadn't, if I'm not doing what I do for a living now, would I be one of those dudes on internet chat boards and
definitely.
Shit? You think so?
Absolutely.
You're that dude. Yeah, you're that now.
I know, but I'm only there because I've got something to say, or I've got something to sell, or I've got something to do.
Also.
Would I be? I respond to
you're
people.
You're also responding to
only
people coming
at me.
Yes,
but only in defense. Yeah, so would I?
Also,
would I have I mean, eventually, I'm sure I would have gotten email, but would I? Would I be the dude that goes to like Anticool News or Rotten Tomatoes and just reads about other movies and then pipes in with my two cents,
yes.
even though
yes.
I've really?
You do that.
Yes.
You do comment
yes.
about other than your own movies. I mean, you wrote
it's
a whole
once
Sign
again,
of Bob Speaks book,
but that to
about
me is
different
still,
subject.
Well, that was, but that book was that was a bunch of people going write an article about this, write an article about that, and they collected it.
Mm-hmm. But that's still a response to people asking you what you think,
right?
Like all everything that's happened on the internet is still a response to the fact that like. Like when Ming finally put up a website that
right.
you've never seen, it's responding to other people getting out there.
But you would be
like,
that guy. You would totally comment about movies and stuff. I think you would.
I would say that I don't know either, just because there are two conflicting forces. One is Kevin's desire to think and talk about movies, and one is Kevin's desire to be comfortable and lazy.
There's, well, also my feeling too is off of what Moshe was saying, if people are asking me questions, then I respond. If people are like, what's your opinion on this, then I'm responding. Or if people are attacking me or whatever. And even if they go after the movies, like, your movies are shit, I don't really respond to that because that's subjective. But if they go after me personally or my life or my wife or whatever, my kid, because people are that fucking low, I will get up and respond about that. But that's all call and response. Like, the internet is not call and response. It's you putting your opinion out there. And I don't know if I'm the
put my opinion out there
guy.
You were a writer. Even back then, in high school, you were a writer, and the internet, had you not done this, would have still been an outlet for you to do your writing. So I think you would have. I'm not saying that you would have been antagonistic on the internet, but I think you would have definitely had opinions about movies and stuff.
Didn't you go after someone who worked for The Courier?
I did. You're right. Fuck. I did. There was, remember The Courier?
Of course.
The Courier, there was this woman who wrote a column.
What is The Courier?
It was a small paper, a local paper back home. It's like, yeah, it covers like four or five towns in the area. It's not like the Asbury Park Press is the big paper down there. This is a weekly. And it's, but not a weekly like a Village Voice or an LA Weekly.
No, we just have, it's like Sun Current in Minnesota.
Very, very small newspaper, good newspaper, but very local community type stuff. And there was a woman who wrote a column, Joan Turner, and she wrote Weekly Observations was her column. And it was W-E-A-K-L-Y, like weekly, you know, as a pun on words and shit. And she wrote like what was kind of, I won't say it's the prototypical Larry King column because I don't know how long he's been doing it, but...
That.
A lot of that shit. A lot of ellipses and a lot of, like, scattered thoughts separated by ellipses and whatnot. And, you know, there was one summer as me and Paige Quast were working at the Galley Deli in Highlands.
Paige Quast?
Paige Quast, sir. Wow. And we would read this column all the time and it was just like, this is so fucking terrible, so hacky. And I did write a fucking letter.
Rest my case.
There it is, you're right. I wrote a letter in advance of the internet. Where it was just like,
snail mail, mind you.
You should be... totally.
And you're like, I don't know if I'd be that guy on the internet.
Totally. I will say I was prompted, though. I got prompted from Mrs. Wicklin was our boss, and she was just like, oh, I hate that column, too. You should write the letter. And I was like, all right. And it was a real, oh, my God, it's sickeningly fucking arrogant, too. And I think it's karma that I do have people come after me, because the tone of this fucking letter, which I saved to this day... Because I wrote another one too. Because she responded to it, so I wrote back.
Was just very. Think about.
It was a sick sense of entitlement in terms of like I should be writing your column, not you. I guess I would be one of those fucking internet Lloyds. Boy, that's sad.
Worst column ever.
Boy, thanks for bringing that up, Moshe. This montage was kind of pulled together in the script. It was just. Brian, it was Dante riding around looking for Becky, and then he sees the kid in the restaurant and whatnot. But we decided I was cutting the movie together. I know, I'll get to that. We were cutting the movie together while we were shooting the movie. And so, like, we figured, I don't know, it should be more about everybody and not just Dante. And so it kind of became what it is now. But I like this montage. This was, I remember this, sir, shooting. We did two takes of this. And we would go for, like, what, 2 minutes or something? It was basically...
This part right there with Jay Dancing, I found oddly moving.
Yeah, me too. But he found it oddly moving, almost moved into vomit, because he was just like, I can't do this anymore. I got to stop smoking. I can't dance. And I was like, fucking dance, chimp. Meanwhile, I just sat in the back and smoked. But I remember at the end of both takes, you were just like, panting like a fat man after sex. That's the oddly moving shot to me. Not even oddly. I just love that shot. The push in on Randall, lights go out.
The beauty is you use the slow motion part for Jay's dancing, so it's only about 30 seconds. You made him dance for an hour and a half.
Totally.
Guys, he was like on Soul Train.
Here's another thing I'm angry. You guys made me stand out in the cold to wait so that Harley would have someone to look at.
Because she loved looking at you, so she wanted to focus on you and whatnot.
There's the poodle.
I think you could have been anybody. Yeah. Yeah. Come here, poodle. Yeah. No, you fucking, the thing that I said earlier.
We cut her holding up a milk bone, too. She lost those fronts at the right time. Those fronts were missing at the fucking right time. If your kid's ever going to be missing her fronts, man, that's the time to do it when you're actually going to capture her. But yes, you're right. We did.
Needed his daughter to have no front teeth. Come here, Harley. Those teeth got to go today. We held the
They're coming out anyway. Take them out.
It's
a baby
string.
Teeth.
This is a car door. Look at the poodle.
Oh, Lord.
Take of you, though, yes, you were mopping, I kept saying, do it again.
You guys made me do 20 takes of that.
Do it again.
I just did it because I was trying to be a good worker bee or something, And you didn't tell me that you were fucking with me.
Yeah,
nobody
just kept saying, do it again, he's doing it wrong, do it again. And then later on, and I never told him until we did the Q&A at the Arclight opening night. He was just like, he made me do so many takes, and I was laughing.
And then I was like, I'm convinced you were fucking with me, but I said it just kind of in that rhetorical way, like I wasn't actually convinced. And then I looked over at Kevin, he had this, like, smirk on his face. And I was like, no! I mean, like, for that to come out in front of an audience was, like, penultimately.
That's how you train a poodle, sir.
Fuck you.
This scene was the one that I was least looking forward to shoot just because of the logistics of it, because there's so much coverage and so many different pieces to pick up, and then you add in the X factor of a fucking donkey and shit like that. But it's one of my favorite sequences in the whole movie. It's really funny. And so there have been some people critically in reviews and also just people, more and more reviews than anything else, actually. It was everything I've ever seen about it has pretty much been in a review in a newspaper or magazine or something. There were a subsection of those people who were like, that scene is too long. And I feel the exact opposite way. I wish it went on for like another 10 minutes. It always felt too short to me.
Well, it's always funny, like, coming into this, you know, you were given choices as a director to do other movies, and I know it was talked about doing Green Hornet or something that was so much bigger.
Right.
But I personally was chuckling at the shape you were in when we were doing this scene because of the amount of takes and the amount of setups and everything else. You were constantly tugging at your beard and your hair. And you were just like, anytime we got you alone, you're like, I fucking hate this. Why can't we just leave the camera there and go? And like to think of you doing this action blockbuster movie, like the shape you'd be in always
where
just
it takes
made
like
me
2 weeks to do a car chase sequence.
Exactly.
I'd be like, oh God, let's just leave the camera, let him drive past it. That'll be the car chase.
And to hear you now say, I wish the scene went on longer. Like, cut back then, you
the
didn't.
Scene, sir. The scene itself right. Within the movie. Shooting it? No. But it actually was, what, 3 days?
Yeah, roughly 3 days.
I mean, it once we got into the thick of it, it actually kind of smoothed out rather nicely and whatnot. But it is, you remember, I think first day we didn't get to you till the end, or was that second day? Like, by the time we, because we were shooting in the direction of the donkey or something, and because I remember you sat around for one of the days
yeah,
till like
there was,
nighttime.
There was one day that I sat around a ridiculous amount of time to come in, and then you just brought me down there and just stuck me in the background, so it felt like I'd been used that day.
You're working.
Yeah.
You're a working actor, sir.
Aren't we all?
I'm so glad he defined that. I still never quite understood.
Zach is so good.
Good sport.
Yeah, Zach, sport. The other half of Joey and Zach, I mean, I don't know many people who'd be like, all right, man, I'll wear that and do that.
Yeah.
He really went for it, man. He figured, I'm here, I might as well do it. Although in this shot right here, well, not that one, but the close-up, he's wearing jeans.
On a technical level, too, he did a good job of completely misleading you when you first see the character, I thought.
Yeah.
And then, like really changing his attitude, like, what, you know, get a Kabi guy. That's one of my favorite lines. Hey,
just, hey.
Yeah. I just love that he's so, like...
We went a few takes to get that shrug right there, too. Because I remember I was going, bigger on the shrug. You're like, bigger? It's like, bigger on the shrug. Bigger? Finally, we got the biggest shrug in the world.
Remember your father's birthday?
It took a little
There are
bit.
Certain things that just jam up with me. Like, I'd be a fascinating study as an actor. Because it's always the simplest thing that just jam and I don't get it. And I'm like, huh? Shrug. What? What is a shrug? Define shrug. Like, it makes no sense.
There's a scene, too, in the deleted scene, not the deleted, but the outtake section, where it was, I forgot until I went through, the other night, I went through all the footage and whatnot, looking for outtakes, and I found the one section where we were shooting, and you're sitting on the table next to Jay,
yeah,
and you keep trying to kiss him, and you're like, it's okay.
Yeah.
That was so fucking funny, creepy.
There was
in
the
such
thing
a weird
when Jason kissed me.
And then he finally kisses you, that's in that
which disturbs me, because every now and then Jason gets cold sores. Is that public
yeah,
knowledge?
You're a fox, sir.
Is that public knowledge? It is
yeah,
now, sir.
There's
you are a fox, sir.
So I was worried.
I remember, though, there was one take of that, too, where it went on for a very long, uncomfortable time. No, it's okay. It's
right.
Okay.
You,
it just went on and on.
It's
really,
on the it's
awesome
outtake section.
I really thought that was funny, too.
After we leave her, you go down to the office and watch. It's 27 minutes of outtakes.
Nice. Oh, wow.
But yeah, there, but the but that one makes me fucking laugh, just you
yeah,
going, it's okay. As if, like, you'd be like, all right, I guess it is. In this setting, anything goes.
That's Elias' version of, I like you, let's do this.
This is my favorite shot in the movie right here, coming up. Not the one where he's touching his balls, but the one that follows this.
Right.
It's the spit shot.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I love that he missed. Someone on his hand, someone off the hand. That makes me laugh. That's the one thing consistently, like, I live with the movie a long fucking time. Write it, shoot it, edit it, watch it in previews and whatnot. So eventually you get inured to the jokes. Although you watch it with an audience. Like, I was just in Edinburgh, the film festival in Scotland, where we won the audience award. And then we went to Australia to open the movie, and I watched it with in and out with those three audiences. And it's when you watch it with an audience who's really digging on it, you remember, like, man, it's fucking, it's a pretty good movie. It's pretty funny. But that shot, no matter how I feel about the movie or how I'm like, yeah, all right, I get it, that shot always makes me laugh, that spit shot. It's just so fucked up.
It's that's the other image that haunts me from the besides Muse's
you wake up and
curvaceous
form. Seeing nightmares of Zach spitting his hand and hovering over you.
Well, part of that is because he's been staying at my place for the past few days. Because
you're introducing him to your mom?
Right. What the fuck did you say about my mama?
There it is.
Oh, God.
This was difficult, too. I remember you were just like, Carol Banker, script supervisor, kept saying, like, it doesn't read like he's jerking off because your arm was too close to you.
Right.
So I had to keep telling you, like, throw the elbow out. So you're jerking off in this wild fashion with your elbow practically hitting your chin.
Remember we just added that the crying thing, too, and we were just lucky that the makeup person had one of those
had the menthol blow.
Because I can't act, actually. Like, I can't actually emote, so I can't cry and command.
Right.
They had to cheat. Blow the thing in your eyeball makes you cry.
That wasn't even necessary, though. That was a joke, too. We were like, just blow that thing in his eye.
Yeah. It wasn't even meant, though.
It'll give him a cold sore in his eye.
Right.
There are people, when the movie plays and you come in with the cake and you're all heartbroken, you can hear people in the audience audibly go, like, aw. People actually, like, felt bad for you and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it is? Do you think it's
the
just
cake.
Do you think the cake is what does it?
This part is hilarious.
I think it's just I think your face is so, like, in the midst of all this wackiness and whatnot, you come off the most realistic because you're the one with the most honest reaction where you're like, I can't believe this dude's fucking kissing this chick.
Didn't we only
so
have
much.
Three cakes or something? And you guys were just like, hit him hard. We've only got three cakes.
I think there were three, and you did it what twice?
I think so.
Because once from one side, once from the other. That
yeah,
worked
that's chop and fuck with this. It's one of my favorite parts.
Sticking with, and along the lines of favorite parts, one of my favorite lines through the whole thing is when J.S. are out after that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no time. There's no downtime. It's great.
It's really good.
Where do you think you go if you're an Emma and you've just seen this dude making out with the chick Becky? Where do you go? Do you go home?
You should have had a run
you're all
across
packed.
The street when the fire truck is
suddenly stops being a comedy. Like, oh my God, she's been hit by a car. And the black cop's like, porch monkey.
Does Becky get out the back door here?
Yeah, Becky is presumed just flakes
smart
and just leaves.
One.
Yeah, she gets out. Gets while the getting's good.
She's in women's prison. That's Clerks 3.
That dude, it's Kevin?
Kevin.
That's what's his last name?
He was
a voice on the Clerks cartoon.
He was UPN.
Yeah, we were able to get him in on the flick. He was a good guy.
I like Kevin.
Where do you think Emma goes, though?
I don't know. Wrestles herself up another fiance.
You think
local
so?
Bar.
She goes to
I don't
Florida.
Know.
She immediately leaves.
The family's in Florida. She's
supposed to leave the next day.
Jersey for.
One of my favorite parts of the jail sequence is so typical of the Dante character. And I read someone online was just like, that's ridiculous. But I was like, it's so in keeping with the characters. Him going, I'm going to smooth things out with Emma. Go down to Florida. And it's just like, dude, you are fucking absolutely deluding yourself at that point. Like, how do you smooth it out? How do you be like, all right, I'm
the
sorry.
He's always got two chicks. He could probably smooth it out.
This is good in this part, too. I forgot. What up, Steely? Because he does that, nyam.
This little laugh here, that's
yeah.
not even performance. That was like an outtake of some sort.
I like that little
like,
thing.
It was you doing something, and I was like, all right, go again. And you laughed, and I just kept it in the movie. I liked it.
Didn't you have to wear a thing on your back, Jeff, so that didn't hurt?
Yeah.
Yes,
oh, wow. Trevor's
enough,
got the
I broke three vertebrae. I wasn't sure I could come to work the next day.
You quickly went to WebMD. You're like, people die from this kind of injury.
In prison.
This was the last thing we shot in California. We kept it till the very end of the shoot because it was like a 10-page scene or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also, you know, it's the touchy-feeliest part of the movie as well. It's not all the jokes and whatnot. So we decided, and it's the one thing that doesn't take place in movies, so we put it at the very, very tail end of the schedule. And I remember...
Funniest line in the movie. Sorry.
I missed my donkey?
Yeah.
Out of your fucking mind. out of your mind. we went to block it out that day, and we did it. It was like a closed set rehearsal. It was just me and Jeff and Brian, and then we brought all the keys in to watch it, because you show it to all the people, the department heads and whatnot, to watch the scene, so they figure out where they're gonna, you know, put the microphone, where the camera's gonna be, blah blah blah, all that stuff, where the lighting's gonna be, and at the end of the rehearsal that you did for them, they all applauded, which is something I don't think has ever happened on any other movie we've ever done. It was kind of touching.
They were just glad we knew our dialogue.
Yeah, they're like, thank God.
This is going to go
in L.A.
That was really fucking nice, man.
It was,
man.
Like live theater again.
And it was there was a sense of, from the whole crew, it was a really great crew, and you got the sense that it was people were getting paid, but they really did kind of, it was an all for one, one for all kind of mentality. Like, people really enjoyed being there. They enjoyed what we were doing. A lot of them saw a lot of the movie as we were shooting it, because I was cutting it together, and they'd come up and watch it at night.
Which was a great help to actually see it assembled as we were going along.
Totally.
And while we're on that subject, it was a great crew. Like, this was a fun shoot. To shoot that, like, in that movies, which was, like, one location, and, you know, you spent 4 weeks down there. It was a really laid-back set and just fun. Like, everybody on the crew, there was, like, nobody that you'd be walking through the parking lot and be like, uh-oh, time to avoid this one.
You know,
everybody was cool.
One of the things that made the set so awesome was this, and this sounds, it may sound like a petty small detail, but it was that the catering was fucking great. The guys...
But it's not even a small detail, because it's like...
Catering's the most important thing.
Yeah, you're working around that lunch hour.
Whoever,
man,
hired those caterers deserves accolades. Was that you, Mosher?
No, that was Laura Greenlee.
Laura Greenlee.
Or it was Marge. It was Marge or Laura.
I mean, they were so good.
But everybody in every department, there was never a department that you were like, oh, great, here, we got to do this. Oh,
this
is going to be a chore. Do you know what I mean? It was really, everybody was just so much fun. And that was the thing, you could joke on set, and yet the work still got done.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which is also a credit to you, Kevin, as a director. You know, you have that type of relaxed feel on set that makes everybody feel all part of the
whole thing. We run pretty laid-back sets. Yeah. You know, it's nobody's ever... I mean, there was one... I remember one moment we stayed late. I think it was the last moment, last night. It was the night we were doing the piece of the montage with Randall. Because we stayed longer, because then we did... It took us a while to get that, to set up for it and get it. And then we went outside to get Jay and Bob outside. And I remember there was a bit of, like, the crew's got to break this down and whatnot. And so they got a little bit antsy.
No, the last night we were at the final night.
Night that we were there.
Movies.
We had to get everything before we left movies.
The final
night of movies. We left movies, because we were there for 24, 28 days, something like that. But once we left it, that was it. We couldn't go back.
Because they were literally knocking
They were
going to
be knocking
down.
It down, and it's now gone. So we had to get everything, and so the last night at movies, we stayed longer than we should have, especially considering the next day we had to do the jail scene. Yeah. So I think there was a bit of antsiness that night, but it wasn't even that bad. But it was just because the crew had to wrap all that shit, all the lights and whatnot out.
It was just Rip and Electric, basically. It had a huge, like, 2 to 3 hour wrap out, and then they basically had to go home, and then they're the ones who got to show up first so they could load in. So it was like...
They had like a 2 or 3 hour turnaround or something.
Yeah, so I mean, that's just when everything catches up and it just gets brutal. And
but it wasn't even a mutiny or something.
No, it's
it was
not
just
a
them
mutiny.
Going like,
it's
this
just
sucks.
Like somebody tells you, like, well, you're probably gonna sleep 2 hours.
Mm. And
they
did they offer to put them up down there or nearby so they didn't have to go home and stuff? Because some people had to drive home.
We do, but in the end, like, for most of them, they're just like, they want to go. People want to go home, and they want to change clothes. And it's like, because we're not coming back there the next day, it doesn't necessarily help them.
Right.
But it's, I mean, that's more of like, people, you get bad news, you know?
Right.
Like, not every moment rules. Contrary
wow.
to popular
words to live by.
Sometimes.
Mosher's mantra is, look, not every moment rules.
Clerks 3. But then not every moment rules. I like it.
But then on the flip side, after we were done with the go-kart day, everybody stayed afterwards there and had free reign of that park.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They got all crazy flipping cars and stuff. So, you know, there are days like that, and then there are days like, you know, like I said, the long days.
You
and
mean
then
they rioted?
Yeah,
they
were.
So they did.
Happy they
there, were, there was someone,
the
there was someone tossed, I think, from the park.
It's like they always say, not every moment rules.
Yeah. I had heard that. A wise man once said.
But the other side of that is some moments do. That's what the go-karts were.
was the jail scene here. There was a little more Jay and Bob in it originally, but I kind of scaled it back to focus more on the stuff you guys are talking about. And most people really went for the scene. Most people really dug the scene. Every once in a while, I get a sour grape who's just like, nah, it's just too serious after all the laughs. But I, generally, the scene went over really, really well.
I really enjoyed it.
I thought you guys are great in this scene. It is my favorite. This is my favorite scene in the movie, the whole thing, from beginning to end of the jail sequence, because I think it's got a bunch of laughs. It's got a lot of heart. It's got some really stuff that pulls at your heartstrings and whatnot. I would sit in the editing room, cut it together. I get teary-eyed, like during this sequence, this part right here and whatnot. So this to me represents the best that the flick could be. And some people that were very into the first Clerks, you know, since there was none of this really in the first Clerks, although I would disagree. There's the food fight. It just doesn't go as far as we do in this movie. But I don't know. As long as this worked insanely well in the movie, I was happy. And thankfully, everything else kind of came up to that standard as well. But Jay more than anyone else, it really kind of saves the scene for the people that get uncomfortable with the touchy-feely stuff. Because as soon as, like, it starts getting too weighty, they're like, no, faggot, you know. And everyone's like, ah, ha, 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 they are faggots. It is kind of a best-of-both-worlds scenario.
And you know what's funny that in watching it with audiences, is that there's so many jokes that come, like, one right after the other. I think the people who are watching the DVD will in their own homes be able to stay quiet at certain points to hear multiple jokes. That there's a lot of times that ass to mouth that he just described, like, I want you guys to do this, then I want you guys to do this. Like, they're laughing at the first, you know, stipulation of the deal, and they miss the joke of the second. And I can't wait to see it on DVD, actually.
It'd be weird, I think, to watch it now if I'd never seen it before by myself for the first time. Because I'm just so used to seeing it with other people and hearing other people's reaction and laughing and whatnot. I wonder if it plays by yourself, sitting at home, watching it and whatnot.
Oh, this audience listening now probably is...
I'm just assuming everyone listening to the commentary track...
has seen it.
Doing it with a party, a bunch of people, not doing it by themselves.
Turn that crap down. Who puts on a commentary track at a party?
That would make me a little sad. They were just sitting home listening to the commentary track by himself. Not there's anything wrong with that, but it's just go out and get a friend. Watch it with a buddy.
Great. They didn't feel weird till just now.
It's a movie about friendship. How can you watch it by yourself? It just feels kind of weird to me.
But when you watch it with a friend, let him buy a copy as well and watch it.
There's that too. Because everyone should teach their own. Everyone should have their own copy. And just remember that when you're watching the movie, not every moment rocks.
No rules.
Rules.
Come on. The words are very precise.
I was putting in my own words, but it's true. Not every moment rules. Of everyone sitting here, Moj was on board from the jump. Muse was on board from the jump. Trevor from the jump. Brian pretty much from the jump. You two, Jeff and Jen, not from the jump. And yours, we cover you very well in the documentary in terms of not being involved, not being way into it until a certain point. So unless you got something to say about it here.
Nope.
There you go. So you, I remember when I first hit you with it, you were just like, oh man, why? Now in retrospect, how do you feel? Are you still like, oh, why?
No. I know that you made the right decision by making this one right after Jersey Girl. But I just, after reading the Green Hornet script, I really thought that you should have gone with that because... you would have grown as a director. It would have given you a chance.
Why?
I don't know. I had all of these ideas in my head that didn't really pan out.
I think we're just scratching the surface.
You're like those people on the internet. You're like those anti-cool moves people who are just like, you'll grow as a director if you make the Green Hornet.
Well, I just thought that it would give you a chance to do something different, and I didn't want you doing Clerks 2 for the wrong reasons. And I thought that those reasons were because of the way that Jersey Girl had turned out.
But as the person who spends the most amount of time with me, of everyone in this room, or of anyone in the world, what do you think now?
I think that you made the right decision. It taught me a lesson, really, in letting you go with your instincts and whatever you're feeling artistically rather really? Than...
So if I'm
absolutely.
Like, look, I want to fuck somebody else, you're like, go with your instincts.
Again, artistically. You know, not
like,
having anything to do with our marriage.
It's
our
a real
marriage,
artistic, like the paint some shit like
that.
Then
I would say yes, yes.
Because paints do make it artistic.
I was actually...
Or what if it's an autistic kind of fuck? Like, you know, somebody
answer.
Who's like Rain Man.
Yes.
A brown bunny or something like that.
Oh, Lord.
That was a very... It was
nothing to say.
But you're glad I did it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not even... You're not just saying that for the commentary track. Like, we get in the car, you're not going to be like, you know what, P.S., fuck you, I'm not glad you did it.
No, of course I'm glad that you did it. I had a Green Hornet script in my hand, and I loved it. So, you know, that's saying...
And that was before you read the Clerks.
You had not even written the Clerks 2 script yet.
Right.
So, you know, it seemed to make sense that you would do that one first, but I was clearly mistaken.
Fair enough, because your point is always like, you don't care about my opinion because you play to... You always need a larger audience, but really, at the end of the day, you're the audience for me because, like, I do spend so much time. So it's always important to me to figure out or know that you're on board or that you agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
So were you?
From the beginning, no.
No, but eventually?
You wore me down. No. No.
Now.
And then
I
exactly.
Sooner or later, you'll just agree with them.
But then I read the script for Clerks 2 and, you know, of course, went along with it because it was great and funny and, you know, it all worked out.
Right on.
I was also skeptical from the beginning, but I was desperate, so I was gonna take it.
Were you one of the people that was just like, I don't know?
No, definitely. I mean, I think that's quite a very natural reaction to have, considering how much people love the first one.
Yeah. I knew that he would get such a world of shit too for it. I knew that
yeah.
they would go after him on the
I
internet.
Did,
and it
did
would be the first
thing,
of many
it
battles.
Matter.
But you know, you know what? Ultimately, most of that shit turned around. I can't
it
say
did
all
because
not every moment rules. But most of it really turned around. Like I would read.
Oh, shit,
yeah, well, Flanagan back. I would read stuff from people who would bag on the idea up until the movie came out, and then would turn around and whatnot. And I'm the kind of guy with the elephantine ass and the elephantine memory where it's like, I remember that this dude fucking didn't like it or was bagging about it and now came on board. It's funny how people did kind of turn around. I guess that's a testimony to the movie and the performances in it.
Yeah, well.
Did you say elephant tight ass?
Elephantine. I have an elephant tight ass, sir.
I thought you were saying like today an ass and it ain't pussy.
Oh, like the taint?
And on that
the last shot.
Yeah, let's end on taint.
But no, we still got all the credits. We got to talk through all the credits,
right.
too.
Oh, gosh.
And wrap up.
5 minutes.
And get closing thoughts. So, Moj, your closing thought. I would just like to say I love this. This is my favorite shot in the movie after the spit shot.
Yeah.
And you
I
said
love
this
is
one of the scenes that you had before you even wrote the script. You had this
for
in
years, yeah. Back when, before I wrote Jane and Silent Bob Strike Back, I knew that the movie would end this way. Man, the shot couldn't have turned out better. And I didn't even have Grace in mind. My mom, you know, as the milkmaid at the end. She just happened to be in Jersey at the same time, so it kind of worked out.
With that outfit.
With roughly the same outfit.
And
I mean, yeah, it was a tracksuit. She's a tracksuit kind of gal.
Throw a busted Flanagan in there.
And getting a little Flanagan rocking in there.
If I ever make a movie, I'm going to say cast in order of importance. And then I'm going to put
that'll
the cast
be,
that I think
nice.
Is most important.
So your one and only movie that you'll make?
That will alienate people more than me going like, if you're alone watching this, it's sad.
It should make for a good commentary track.
Moj, closing thoughts.
I didn't know that we could have. I mean, it was a great experience, and I think the movie turned out great. You know, so it pretty much ruled
every moment.
Almost every moment.
Muse,
I loved it.
Did you?
I enjoyed it.
I don't think I ever got your full opinion on the whole movie.
No, you don't really talk to me that much anymore.
Yeah, horseshit. So. What do you feel about the whole movie? Not just our stuff.
I love it. I was fun making it, and I like the movie itself. It's really good, and I think it's beautiful.
Keep it in context. What's your favorite movie of all time?
In the whole world?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have this movie.
Say Alexander.
No, I don't think I have a favorite movie of all time. I like all types of movies, but I really do. I'm not even kidding. I like it. I'm not just saying that to you because you're my buddy. I do enjoy watching it. Like I could watch this movie when it more than once. Like I don't watch our other movies more than.
Not even Jet Top Bob Strike Back. I think that's
I've watched it a couple, but it's. But there's a lot more me in it. I don't like really watching myself. Mm-hmm. But I like the movie overall.
Some would argue there's a lot more of you in this movie because you take off all your gear.
Well, yeah. But I don't mind seeing that. But it's in and out with me in this. It's sort of like the first one.
Right.
But I'm saying I haven't went back and watched Clerks in a long time. Or Mallrats. Like, I've seen them probably all maybe twice.
Less was more. I remember when I gave you the script, you were like, we're not in it a lot. But actually, I think we're in it just the right amount in this movie.
We don't want to overkill because no one knows it yet, but there's going to be three more Jay and Bob's.
There it is. Jay and Silent Bob strike back yet again.
And Dogma 7. And
I would, believe me, I would sequelize every one of my movies if I could. But I got to grow, I guess. That's what I keep saying.
That's what Ain't Cool News.
That's what I read on Ain't Cool News and just heard from my wife. Speaking of which, closing thoughts for you, Jennifer.
I'm just glad that it went as well as it did for you. You had such a good time.
I did. I had a fucking blast.
The entire shoot and afterwards, everything has gone so well.
The whole thing was just a series of goddamn blessings. It really was like, I've said it before somewhere else, I think in the docs, one of the five smartest decisions I ever made was to make this movie. I loved it from beginning to end, from pre-pro on. It was just all the way to release, all the way after release, right to the commentary track. Loved it so much. But thank you for that. So sweet. I'm going to throw you a bone later on.
Lucky me.
Jeff, closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts. For me, I can't remember the last time a decision turned around so much on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't even think you know, and we've talked about it, but honestly, you don't know how close I came to not doing this.
Oh, I imagine.
Like
I was aware of how upfront you were, so I imagine you were actually being polite to not show the full hand.
There was a long time in there, especially when it pushed a few times. There was a long time in there where I just was really going to bail out on this. And in hindsight, it really turned me around. It's like basically I kind of caved into doing it because I was the holdout.
Right.
And I was going to just do it to make all of you happy. And I didn't care if I was unhappy doing it. I just wanted you guys to get what you wanted out of it. But I've really completely turned around and seeing it. And it's one of the best things I happily decided to do. And I'm completely 100% turned around. And I'm sorry I even spent this amount of time questioning it. So,
does it make you rethink heterosexuality? Because at this point, you're like, well, that seemed like a good idea, but
you know, now that you think about it,
like if Jay comes up to you and he's like, I like you, let's do this.
Well, with that line, who can say no? I mean,
Ryan, you go last, sir.
Wow. You know what? I got to say, from 13 years ago till now, and all the rides that we've taken in all the movies, that this was far beyond the most fun I've had with these characters, with you, with everybody. It was just, like you said, we couldn't have had any more perfect, happy circumstances happen along the line to make this film as funny as it turned out, more so than anything just on a page by itself was. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody pulled together, and you know what? They jokingly, it's like, oh, when we were on this press tour, is there going to be a Clerks 3? And we're like, oh, no, why poke the bear a third time? But you know what? I'd be all in favor for a third one.
Yeah, I think somewhere in my 40s I would definitely like to revisit.
So hopefully if I don't get a heart attack.
Don't get too excited about what I just told you, kid.
Now that I know you're in,
don't
sir.
Don't get too excited.
Now I can spin you on any issue, I feel. And let's all say goodbye to Rosario. She couldn't make it, but she was wonderful in the movie. Big applause for her. Yay, thank you for watching. Thanks for sticking by us through all this Viewers Universe stuff, and we'll see you somewhere down the road as well.
Thank you, crew.
Go buy shit.